Android and iPhone users, welcome. BlackBerry and Windows Phone users, these phones don't even support podcasting, bro. The podcast going beyond the headlines. This is the Gooply Cast. Here's your host, Matthew Carter.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Gooply Cast. We're live right now on Twitter, Twitch, Facebook, and YouTube. If you can't make our live show, we have an audio-only version, and you can find that on all of your favorite Android and iOS podcasting apps, as well as Facebook podcasts. With us tonight is Icebyte Air founder, Matt Evans. Hey, Matt. Welcome, welcome.
Welcome. I was wondering if you were going to remember.
Yeah. The founder of one of the most revolutionary startups that I've ever witnessed. Never forget that.
Yep. Go to icebyteair.com and sign up today.
I hope you have that domain or that you have it by the end of this podcast. Also joining us is product red extraordinaire, Roy Schlepinski. Welcome, Roy.
Like the,
welcome, welcome.
I like the sound of that. Extraordinaire. Yeah.
Yes. Right. Especially with your new level up for tonight. The beautiful all red Yeti blue mic.
Not the filter. That looks more orange than red.
I definitely need to replace that. I'm just going to get a black one.
Is it, what if Roy just got like a 4K camera? What if we all got 4K cameras? What if we all got 4K cameras and then recorded Host of Cooking with Tim, Chef Tim Van Claveren? Welcome, Tim. Welcome, welcome.
Hello.
Directing the show tonight is executive gamer Joseph Meacham. Welcome back, Joseph.
What's up, gamers? Also, Matt, I got to say, you were so close to sticking the landing on that Cooking with Tim joke. You were so close.
I tried to do the segue. It was like I flipped some kind of omelet, and it just landed all over my face.
Yeah, unlucky. But I'm glad to be back. Thank you guys for having me, and I hope last week didn't go too poorly.
No.
It went awful. And never leave again.
Update. Stand by. Update. I now own icebyteair.com.
Oh, yes.
How much was it?
So good.
$12.
12? That's pretty
not
cheap.
Not bad. Making history here on the pod.
Icebyteair.com. There's nothing there. Why don't you at least have a landing page?
Well, because I just bought it like 30 seconds ago.
30 seconds is all it takes to make a landing page.
I mean... Not Matt really. Has so gotta, many websites that he's working on right now.
You gotta buy it. You gotta point it to the domain. That takes about 3 to 5 minutes, you know, generally. Then you gotta set up the hosting services. Then you gotta create the landing page. Then you gotta update it. Give me a few days.
It's actually some work. Like, it takes some elbow grease, some effort.
I have an idea with it, though, and I was thinking about it, but I'm not going to share it on this, but I did have an idea on it, so.
Okay. I look forward to it.
I may share it in the near future.
Hmm. But, that is actually a great segue into our first topic for today, which is another founder shared something, another CEO. Jack Dorsey has stepped down from Twitter, taking... one or two shots at people on his way out.
I am really sad about that.
Okay. Sad. What do you feel like? You feel like you're losing something? We're losing something or what?
Yeah. I mean, I've always been a fan of Twitter. Like, I'd been on Twitter for years, even before I was on Facebook. Like, I was on Twitter, you know, and it's just like, Twitter, when Jack left and, you know, they had to transition the first time, you know, and stuff like that, I felt like the company kind of went to crazy, and I felt the, you know, the company's kind of on the right path right now. They're introducing new products, new features. It's not the same old, you know, the same old thing year after year after year. They've been really good with developers right now and rebuilding the API. And, you know, giving features to it and stuff like that. Twitter Blue just got released. I signed up for it, just mostly because I wanted to try it out. Don't know if I'll keep it, but I did want to try it out.
What is Twitter Blue?
It's the subscription service for Twitter now, so you can get it. You get a few different features on it. Here, let me run through the features real quick. You can do custom icons, so you can change the icon on your home screen or whatever. It comes with an undo tweet, not really an undo tweet. It just sits there and waits like 30 seconds before it actually uploads it or whatever time length. I think you can do up to a minute. So it's an undo tweet, kind of like the, you know, the edit tweet that we should have. Mm-hmm. But it's the one thing about that, and a lot of developers have been calling them out because of it, because it's not really an undo tweet. Because if you close out the app or are not connected to the internet after you hit the send button, it actually won't publish it because it just stays on your device instead of actually going to the server and then letting the server determine the 10 minutes, you know. And then it comes with a reader, which basically lets you change the text size for the tweets there and stuff like that. It comes with themes. You have 6 different themes: red, yellow, blue, purple, orange, or green. I would like to see a custom theme or custom color in there. Like I said, app icons you can change. They don't really have any cool ones. I think the coolest one I found was the black. There's a black dark one that I kind of like. Custom navigations. Now this is really cool because you can actually customize your navigation bar at the bottom of it. So if you really only wanted 2 things on there, you could get rid of everything except for 2 icons. So that's kind of cool. And then again, you can customize them in the way that they're on there too. Labs, which is like basically new features, and right now they have pinned conversations and upload longer videos, so you can upload up to 10 minute videos on there. And then there's ad-free articles with Twitter Blue publishers. Some of the big ones on there is Recode. I think The Verge is on here. Yeah, The Verge, The Atlantic, Business Insider. But there's actually quite a few of free ad viewing. USA Today, Mac Rumors. There's quite a few of them there, though. If you go to their website within the Twitter app and look at an article, it won't show any ads on there. The last one is just see your impact and showing support for journalism and read ad-free viewing, essentially. So a little bit of your money goes there. And that's basically it so far.
And that sounds like that is
$2.99
per month. I like that for getting access to articles without ads. That seems fair. And yeah, for the amount of customization actually, you get.
I read The Verge a lot, and so it is kind of nice to not have ads, you know, popping up everywhere while you're watching things. So I've actually really kind of enjoyed that. I wish that it worked outside of the browser or outside of Twitter. So if I went to theverge.com, you know, on my work or on my computer or whatnot, you know, if it was signed in there, then I would do it. It only works in the Twitter app, but hopefully. Hopefully there'll be something down the line. So,
okay. Saying that there was Jack Dorsey. Twitter has been growing, and it sounded like you felt like Jack Dorsey had been instrumental in.
Yeah, and they brought out Twitter Spaces, which is really good. They brought out monetizing, you know, making Facebook or excuse me, not Facebook, Twitter communities. Hasn't rolled out to everybody yet, but I mean, there's just a lot of things changing right now. They're growing, they're trying new things, which they really haven't done. If you think about it, Twitter hasn't changed much over the years. Outside of, you know, redesigning their apps, redesigning their webpage, you know, redesigning some of their layouts and stuff like that. But, it's really interesting to see it kind of go. So.
And they've had a surprising amount of competition come and go in the amount of time that Twitter's been around. I'm specifically thinking about Google's failed social media network, Google Plus. That was like a Facebook, Twitter hybrid that they tried to roll into everything. Everything that was Google, like you had to have a Google Plus account, but that failed, and then they just kind of rolled all of that functionality into other services or got rid of it. But I'm surprised that Jack Dorsey is leaving because Twitter is growing so much right now. I know that Twitter is one of the few companies that didn't change for a really, really long time. Like Facebook started to change like rapidly and all at once with like the groups and the businesses checking in, the marketplace, and now they have so many different components to them. I'm very surprised to see Jack Dorsey leave now when it seems like he was really invested in Twitter.
Well, I think he just really got tired of testifying in Congress, and that's probably why he wanted to jump ship, honestly. I mean, he's been there quite a few times, you know, and that's no easy task, you know, to go and
testify, especially when they're yelling at you, thinking that you're controlling like the minds of American
and
people.
Cutting you off and not letting you answer. So there used to be a Twitter alternative, and I used to use it. And I can't
see. Do you remember the aesthetic of it? Like the theme?
Was it Mastodon?
No.
Was it Elo?
I'll find it. Keep going. Keep talking, and I'll see if I can find it here.
And Jack seemed to actually be invested in his role as a CEO. So one of the things that he said in his statement for leaving was that he thinks, let me see if I can pull it up. He thinks that a CEO should be able to leave the company and kind of allow it to stand on its own two legs without a CEO's direction. So he was kind of poking at Mark Zuckerberg. He specifically says, I believe it's critical a company can stand on its own, free of its founder's influence or direction. He says this right after Mark Zuckerberg switches his entire company over to the metaverse, which kind of surprised people that Mark Zuckerberg would do, since it seems kind of obsessive to double down on this one idea that he specifically has when his company is so much more than just the metaverse. And Jack Dorsey is just like, you know what, I'm going to let Twitter become its own thing and leave and go pursue whatever his own passions are, which I respect.
Yeah. So the other one was called app.net, and it was meant to eventually replace Twitter or go after Twitter and replace it. Ultimately, I think that the project actually made Twitter better because I think Twitter kind of woke up and realized that there were some other things about it. Like it was kind of like MoviePass. If you've ever known MoviePass, was that subscription service for movies that gave you three free movies per week, but I didn't think it was going to last because they had promised no ads, no things to welcome developers to the community, that type of thing. But they officially shut down, and I think it was like 2017 is when they shut down. But it was growing of quite a few people. Developers had developed third-party apps for it. There was a really cool one, I think, called Bear or something like that. And it was built for app.net. And I think Tweetbot even released a version of Tweetbot that worked on app.net. So it was, I think it gave them a little competition, you know, and I think that ultimately with them shutting down paved the way for them to continue their development, you know, and maybe they had been planning it while app.net was in business. But obviously Clubhouse came out. You know, Clubhouse is very much like Twitter Spaces. It's an audio like group of people where people can get together and chat in like a room. They tried stories and ultimately failed at it. I was really sad about that because I actually kind of do like stories. They called them fleets. There's lots of different things.
I'm curious, what changes are you guys looking forward to? Either from Jack Dorsey's departure or from Parag Agrawal, hope I said his name somewhat correctly, from his joining as the CEO.
Well, I would just like to see him continue with the growth and continue with releasing new products, whether they live or die. I mean, we should still continue to grow as a community and as a service, you know. So I definitely really like to see them continue building out new features and releasing them. So
I would like to see an edit button added.
I know.
Just the edit button.
Honestly, the number one question is there going to be an edit button now? I guess we'll have to wait and see, but
I certainly hope so. That would be fantastic. One thing that I find suspicious whenever CEOs leave amid any kind of controversy, is that like Twitter and basically every tech company is being investigated for how much control they have over public discourse. Do you guys feel like Jack Dorsey's leaving now could be influenced by any kind of worries that he or the company might have over his decision to like ban Trump or his decisions to direct the conversation in some way? Like, do you think they might be afraid of any governments out there? How do you guys feel about that?
I don't think so. I think that Twitter is eventually, you know, the policies have always been the policies, you know. I mean, I'm sure that Jack has, you know, ultimately said a lot of things, you know, and had, you know, some of the final says on certain things, perhaps the Trump situation, you know, but I think there's policies in line still. And I think that that's going to continue. It's no easy job to manage a social media company, you know, with thousands and thousands of users, you know. So it's, you know, it's hard, you know, because I think there was an Instagram post. Madonna posted a picture and it showed her nipple over the weekend, and they basically, Instagram took it down because it showed a nipple, you know, and it violated the terms and conditions. And then she came out, you know, against it. And why are you, you know, filtering me and stuff like that? But there's ultimately policies around things. So I think it will continue. I don't think that had anything to do. I do agree that I think he was kind of tired of testifying against Congress. You know, he's been there a few times, you know, with Mark Zuckerberg and others, you know. So it, you know, he's probably looking forward to, you know, to that. And on the other side, he's still the CEO of Square. I mean, he's had two roles, you know. He's been the CEO of Twitter and the CEO of Square. And, you know, that's no easy job, you know, to do both of them. So
absolutely. Absolutely. And he's so one of the videos that I've seen of Jack Dorsey, which kind of lends to him just being tired of everything that's been going on with Twitter and just allowing it to grow in its own right, is watching Jack Dorsey's transition as like an entrepreneur into a CEO. Like, his current appearance is just very interesting. He seems a lot more comfortable with what he's doing. He's got the beard. He's got the bald head. Like, he used to be a clone of like the prototypical CEO.
Yeah, he had hair. He had a smaller beard. He's had the beard for years, but you know, it's like you just don't see that beard. Like, that's a beautiful looking beard. If I could grow a beard like that, I would. But, you know, it's just like, you know, it's Yeah,
see him in tie-dye t-shirts a lot.
Yeah,
I know what he used to look like. Steve Jobs.
Yeah, he was never like a Mark Zuckerberg. You know, Mark's always been famous for wearing the same t-shirt every day, you know, mm-hmm. and having a closet full of them, you know, and stuff like that. And Jack has never been like that. And I mean, just having the cool name of Jack, like, I mean, that, you know, that's pretty cool. And, you know, he'll forever have at Jack on Twitter, you know. I mean, that's really cool, too. I think it's, you know. I think he's done great things for Twitter. I'm sad to see him go, but I'm hopeful for the future of Twitter, and I hope that the service continues to grow, over time.
Any other comments about Twitter, guys?
Sounds like no.
So now you guys, we get to talk about Elon Musk, everybody's favorite meme lord.
You got this, man.
And his Starlink project. So there was some news that I was not aware of. What do you guys want to talk about with Starlink?
Well, we haven't really talked about it, and I didn't honestly know about it until somebody mentioned it to me. I hadn't really read about it much, and I think I might have seen an article early on about it. When he announced it, but I didn't really think, I mean, it came from Elon Musk. I was like, this is probably years out or whatnot. I was like, probably never going to happen. But, somebody mentioned it to me, and I, you know, the big infrastructure package passed, you know, and stuff like that. And, you know, I know Tim's been talking about moving, and some people have been talking about, that I know moving, to rural areas and stuff like that. And one of the things that they have really struggled with is finding places that have broadband internet, high speed internet, you know, and, it's hard sometimes in rural areas. If you move to Eastern Washington, we're in Washington on the Seattle side, which is very well populated, very well has good infrastructure for internet. Most big communities have internet, but if you go to some of the outlying areas, it gets kind of spotty. I lived on Bainbridge Island for a while, and internet was very spotty over there. And I mean, it wasn't spotty as to say, I mean, you always had internet, but you had DSL, and DSL is not really high speed internet. You were lucky.
And you guys had to use like boosters for your T-Mobile, like cell service, right?
Yeah, I had a cell booster because cell spots, cellular data was kind of spotty in some areas and stuff like that. So, used cell boosters and stuff like that to boost the signal. But so anyways, and then like if you went to the world areas, some of the outlying areas of Bainbridge Island, like they didn't have Comcast, you know, you could get cable internet, but you couldn't get cable TV, but you couldn't get cable internet out there just because they haven't built it out yet. And a lot of them wanted to charge like, you know, $10,000 to $20,000 to dig a hole and run the cable up to your house, you know, and you had to put the cost of that up front. And that was a lot of money to invest in a service that you still have to pay for after that, you know, and you have to basically build out that infrastructure. So, I see where people would like to see higher speed internet. I was kind of skeptical about it because satellite internet, I feel like, has been around for a while, but it's never really took off in the direction that it was. And so I kind of read about it, and I was like, you know, this one guy, he was getting like barely a megabyte on an upload speed, you know, it was like pretty much dial up based internet.
And this was,
like, he was
with
getting
Starlink or with competing.
This was with his basic like telephone company or whatnot. But he was getting basically dial up type internet. Yeah. And so he jumped on the bandwagon when Starlink came out and was able to get a package. And he said he gets about 100 download speed now.
Yeah, that sounds about right. The average
30
is about
the upload.
Yeah,
30 on the upload speed. So I mean, it's great if it works, but you know, you one of the things that I think that you when you have satellite, you deal with the snow, that type of thing. You have to have directional internet. It has to be able to see the sky, you know, can't be blocked by trees and stuff like that. So, you know, it's going to take time. The cool thing about this though, and I saw this on a YouTube video, is that I guess the Starlink satellite will automatically move and it'll automatically heat up to burn off the snow off of it as well.
I did not know that.
To keep a clear signal. That's what I read on it. I haven't tried it. They didn't show any things, but it can move in order to get the snow off of it, you know, and get a better signal, I guess.
And I know that it can run in like below zero temperature, so it's a pretty sturdy device regardless of what scenario you're in. The problem just is coverage and clearance for the signal to get to you. So if you have trees around you, I know that the Starlink app will let you kind of map out your area and it'll tell you if a position that you want to put it in is good. So it does kind of help you out. But yeah, like weather conditions are important and where you put it is important. And it's expensive to build a satellite infrastructure to begin with. Like Elon Musk had to build reusable rockets in order for Starlink to get where it is right now, which is amazing.
Yeah, and I mean you gotta deploy those satellites too, you know. And I think one of the biggest things too that you have to deal with too is that there's a time difference, and I think it's like 30 seconds between how long it takes for the data from the satellite to reach the data in the satellite in space. You know, and vice versa. So there is like a little lag there, and that can depend on how much, you know, the data transfer is between the two satellites. So, yeah.
All those Fortnite gamers are going to be mad.
Yeah, they are. So I did look at it. It is available in my area. And so it is kind of pricey, though. I mean, you do have to pay for this for the satellite. Which is $4.99, and then it's a $99 monthly fee. So, I mean, that is a little more than what you could get Comcast for or some of these smaller internets. I don't remember what Ziply Fiber is, but I mean, you can get Comcast, or I think as cheap as like $40 or $50, mm-hmm. you know, per month. So it is a little more expensive, and you're not getting like for $100, you can get gig internet from Comcast. So definitely not getting that for the price, but, if you're out there in one of those rural areas, $99 is, you know, probably a godsend, for some people.
Yeah. It'd be legitimately better than nothing. If you're like out there and you don't have access to some kind of cable or some kind of wire or something, or you're just like believing in Elon Musk's vision and you want to be an early adopter of the tech, that's going to be more expensive.
So, yeah. And, then $50 for shipping and handling. $56 for taxes, and there you go. You have to put down a deposit of $99, and again, you have to have, you know, a house or whatnot. You can't do it in apartments, I don't think, because unless you're on the top floor.
Another thing with this is you have to stay at the same location. You cannot, if you're, let's say you live in a van and you travel, that will not work. It has to be at only certain locations it's available. There's a really good video I highly recommend watching from the Wall Street Journal, and it's called Testing Elon Musk's Starlink. Basically, it's during COVID, during the lockdown, it's this very small town in Washington that does not have any really good internet at all, and if they do, it's very minimal, very bad, like not good. And most of the people there have satellite internet. A few people have signed up for Starlink as beta testers, and just watching the video, the speeds they're getting compared to some of their neighbors is absolutely insane. Which, yes, it's expensive, it's $100 a month, but at that point, a lot of these people in the video, their jobs have been forced to work from home, and so. They're able to continue working like they normally would do, but from home, and not have to worry about not being able to do their jobs.
Imagine having worse internet than Comcast.
Yeah.
Well,
I would love to live
bingo
in the middle of nowhere. Like, I would love to live in a very remote area, but always that fear of mine is always the internet and always, am I going to be able to get online? But as Starlink gets better, which SpaceX is constantly launching new satellites, like it's almost every other day I get a notification, SpaceX is live with another rocket launch, and then sure enough they're sending 50 more satellites. But just as the service gets better, it's gonna make internet a lot more accessible in rural areas.
And I think that, and this is another option too, you know, when you think about this, because 5G is rolling out in a lot of areas, and 5G is supposed to be the ultimate high speed. T-Mobile launched the 5G internet, home internet, which is, and I checked it out. I haven't purchased it yet, but we had talked about it, maybe ditching Comcast and going with it. Mm-hmm. You obviously, right now, you can't get gig internet off of it. You may or may not be able to in the future. It again is not available everywhere. But if you do have, you know, good cell service in your area and you have T-Mobile, more than likely you might have access to T-Mobile's 5G home internet, which is $50 per month. And the equipment is on them. So they send you the equipment. You have your own cell spot. You know, they've been pitching this to businesses and stuff like that to use for customers who are working from home during the pandemic and stuff like that. So, you know, it's, I mean, T-Mobile has been building out their internet for years. And I think ultimately T-Mobile is going to be a strong competitor versus Comcast, you know, AT&T, Verizon, Fios, and all that. So we'll see kind of what happens.
And I look forward to more just players in the internet-connected space, because in so many places it's either, well, I don't even know if it's like Frontier anymore, since they seem to have collapsed in a lot of areas, but it's either like Frontier or Spectrum and Comcast. You have one or two choices depending on where you live. And well, at
Frontier was a spinoff of Frontier was eventually a spinoff of Fios, and it licensed the Fios name. But Verizon has always owned Fios. Then eventually Frontier got sold like over here to Ziply Fiber. But it used to be Verizon Fios here. And then they sold off their market here to Frontier, and then Frontier kind of spin off into Ziply Fiber.
Also, Spectrum is owned by Comcast, so it's on. No. Yeah, it's only we're only working with two companies here at best. There's a huge monopoly on this. Yeah,
there is, you know, and I mean the thing that gets me the worst and everything is that if you go over your data overage fee on Comcast, it's $10 a month or $10 $10 per 50 gigs, you know, which is a lot. I mean, so
it's an absolute ripoff.
I've gone over, you know, and T-Mobile home 5G internet doesn't have that fee. So for $50, you know, I could get this and, you know, save $10. The problem is we get gig internet and we, you know, me and my wife both work from home. You know, yeah. we stream a lot of shows and stuff like that. I mean, we go through a lot of internet, but I don't know. We've thought about it. You know, even getting it as a backup. You know, maybe in the future, because you know we've had some issues with Comcast and stuff like that. You know, and when you get the hub, it's a modem and the hub together, and then you don't have to pay for a. You don't have to pay for a special modem, you know, stuff like that. You just plug it in and go. It is only available at your home space, so you could technically take it with you. And I think I've seen some people do it, but T-Mobile says that's a violation of their terms and conditions, and you'd probably be turned off. So if you were thinking about, you know, using it in an RV, it wouldn't really work.
They'd probably want you to get a hot spot for that specifically.
Yeah. So, because we had thought about it, you know, if we ever bought a van, you know, it might be a good idea. But then when you look at the terms and conditions, it says, only made to be used at your home. And if you do take it out, you're violating the terms of service, I think, or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, the idea of having some kind of fast core internet distributing hotspot or mobile device really interests me, just because I carry around so many devices and there's so many ways to communicate without having quote unquote cell service. Like, you can communicate over Wi-Fi in so many ways. It's ridiculous. So having some kind of mobile hotspot or something like a T-Mobile Home, I also thought about picking up to see if I could just survive off of that. But there's so many Internet of Things stuff that I have at my home that wouldn't work if there was no internet connection, that I don't think I could take my main source of internet like back and forth.
You should really look into the 5G. I would be curious to see if somebody would actually try it out, because I'm on the verge of it, but we're still in contract for a few more months.
Yeah.
But if T-Mobile actually Comcast pisses me off enough, I may actually pull through with my threat.
The thing that's crazy to me about Starlink is that, like, you have Comcast, which is trying to suck the blood of everybody who signs a Faustian bargain contract with them. And then you have Elon Musk, who's like, yeah, I'm trying to get to Mars, so Starlink is going to be the satellite array that goes around Mars so that the colony I start on Mars will have internet and will have an interplanetary internet connection. And I'm like, that sounds like an amazing idea, Elon Musk. And Comcast is just in the background going like, good, we'll steal $10 from them for every 50 gigabytes they go over. It's like, okay, don't.
I honestly think that he may be the first person to go to Mars if he's successful in some way or another. I mean,
of living that long, sure.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, yeah. It'll be interesting to see who gets to Mars first and if it happens in our lifetime, but probably not. But yeah. So, anyways, a lot of good internet options there. I'm curious to, what you guys think of competition when it comes to broadband internet.
Did we lose him? Speaking of, what a funny time to lose him.
So what do you think about internet competition?
Oh,
hello.
You back now? Okay, cool.
Oh, I was. Did I cut out?
You did. Yeah, right as you were talking about broadband companies.
Wow. So, what do you guys think of broadband? Do you think that Starlink is a good competition for Comcast or Charter or gig internet from fiber?
I haven't read too much about how Starlink actually, how it is in practice. In theory, it sounds cool. A couple of my gaming friends moved to a pretty rural area and their internet's been really unfun in allowing them to play games. So, for their sake, I hope it works well, but I don't really know how it is. It sounds like a good thing, though.
So I'm looking at, in the video I reference, they go through speed tests based off of this person, Starlink, that they interviewed about it. They asked him multiple times to do different speed tests, and he logged all of them. And on average, he was getting, using Starlink, 148 megabits per second down and 13.6 megabits per second up.
Ouch.
His neighbor, mind you, who has CenturyLink, gets 1 megabit down and half a megabit up.
Yeah.
Another question I have based on that is, how does it affect ping? going off of a satellite internet.
One of the metrics that I saw from one guy testing his Starlink was like 43 milliseconds of ping,
which that's is like not even bad.
Yeah, enough to do most competitive stuff, maybe not enough to do like hyper competitive shooters or something like that, but sure, definitely not bad. And I want to say he lived in Minnesota, but I can't quite remember. But Starlink and what SpaceX currently, because Elon Musk plans to separate the Starlink company from the SpaceX company, because if Starlink goes down, he doesn't want it to affect SpaceX. They're very keen on trying to get lag as low as possible. They're developing this technology where, so right now I don't think the satellites directly communicate with each other, but they're developing some technology where the satellites will communicate directly with each other with some like laser technology that shoots a laser from one satellite to another, and since they're all in a stationary orbit, they'll all be connected in some kind of array or some kind of link. So that'll dramatically increase the amount of speed that we'll get, and so they won't have to build ground stations, because with satellites you have to have a ground station that shoots data up to the satellite and then the satellite redirects it. I don't know how many ground stations they currently have, but once they get that technology up and running, they won't have to have as many, and the whole network will get faster. So, again, it'll just get better the more satellites they throw up there.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it all plays off. I did note that India halted orders on Starlink and told them they need to stop until they get regular approval from the government. Because supposedly there, they have to get a permit or some type of approval from the government to operate a telecompany within there. But it is interesting that, you know, people are using it around the world, because over in India, I mean, internet's not fast, I don't think. You know, I guess it depends on where you're at. But...
And certainly wouldn't be prevalent, because that's like the amount of scale that Starlink can hope to achieve is global internet coverage. It's expensive, yeah, which is kind of prohibitive to me, like 500 plus 100 plus the shipping's so like $600 or $700 just to like get started, and then $100 a month is like too much, I feel like. But I mean, that in comparison to waiting for either a government subsidy to build fiber or put cable out to your home or to your community to get some kind of better connection, like, or Comcast doing it themselves out of their own pocket. Like, it's just, at least in the United States, I feel like it's really hard to get a better connection once you're just kind of stuck in an older kind of place, which is, I don't know why Comcast gets so much monopoly power here. I don't know.
It'll definitely be interesting to see how it plays out between it. You know, and I look forward to seeing what he did. I honestly didn't think I didn't think very much of it when I first read about it, and I'm surprised that you know, they're throwing so much money into it. And like I said, you know, when I read that they were launching satellites every other day, like Tim mentioned, you know, that's dedication. So
yeah,
see how it all plays out over time.
I almost don't even want Starlink, because it seems like it's too cumbersome to set up compared to something like 5G. I feel like if there are enough 5G antennas around us, and then it becomes easier and easier to put 5G or just like internet antennas in things, then you could just have like a smart light or a desktop computer or a cell phone with direct connection to a 5G network, and you just pay some kind of like account fee for all of that.
Well, and honestly, like, I think the future is going to be with 5G, and I think that the future is going to be with like a home hotspot model, kind of like what T-Mobile's doing. It's not really a hotspot. I mean, it is a hotspot, but it's not really. It's separate from a hotspot. Mm-hmm. And it's giving you unlimited. Hotspots generally have data caps and stuff like that. So, but essentially, if you go to T-Mobile.com and you look at, or you search T-Mobile Home Internet, I mean, it's just a little round thing, and it just plugs in. There's no connections, no cables or anything like that other than a power. I think it does come with a broadband port or an Ethernet port on the back where you can plug in, you know, other devices or whatnot. But I think honestly, that's going to be the future of internet is 5G. And I think that hopefully Verizon and AT&T will get up on their bandwagon and get more competition out there for it. But T-Mobile, I mean, their speeds are incredible right now. I mean, I get at home almost 500 megabytes on a download speed sometimes using the 5G Ultra. I forget what it's called. The 5G. Roy, you want to jump in here? The 5G Ultra?
Ultra capacity.
Ultra capacity. That's it. Hmm. I mean, that's pretty much the future. Tim, you have a 5G phone now. Do you enjoy the 5G speeds? And
I will talk more about it in my full review, but the speeds have been pretty great, and I don't go to any major cities at all. Like, I don't commute to Seattle anymore. I stay roughly in Linwood all the time now, and I was very much thinking, I'm like, 5G is not going to be that great in Linwood. It's going to suck. Like, I'm going to need to go to Seattle or Bellevue for the day to actually push it to its limits. I've been very impressed with the 5G speeds I have gotten within Linwood. Have actually been very impressive, and I have been impressed by it.
I think it's just going to continue to grow, and I think that AT&T and Verizon are both behind the times in there. You know, I know people who are on both, and they get pretty shitty speeds for 5G compared to what you get off of T-Mobile. You know, and T-Mobile is corporate home tier, so I mean, I think that when I was in Vegas, I've got very similar speeds though. So I don't think it necessarily relies on the fact that we're home to, you know, T-Mobile's corporate offices in Bellevue. I don't think that they're building it out here. I've seen speed tests in New York City, you know, and I think New York was one of the first to get 5G there. So I mean, I think the future's in 5G. I'm excited to see what Elon Musk does with Starlink, and we'll see how it does. It's going to suck if it fails, and then he has all those satellites sitting up there. Like, what are we going to do with them all?
They have little programs built into them. They can propel them into the Earth's atmosphere, and we'll get a really nice, exciting satellite meteor shower one day. Millions.
I want to see this.
They'll aim for all the Amazon headquarters.
Do you think there's a special key you have to put in to shut them down and make them go?
I'm sure Elon Musk has a key.
There's got to be an auto destruct button key, and you have to open this little hub, and you got a button to push, and then you push it, and they all self destruct.
Oh, you put that in your Tesla if you're Elon Musk. You drive around with that power.
Do you think Comcast is going to try to innovate faster internet so they can stay on top? But what they're going to do is come out with AirG, which is going to be the fastest G in the air. But then, get this, as soon as they launch it, a mythical monster is awakened. And comes to attack everyone on Earth, and then Comcast is just like, we're sorry, we didn't mean to do this.
Okay, so I was with you. The old man in me was really excited about something called AirG because that sounded new and exciting and better than 5G. So I was like,
hold on, let me see if the domain's available. What'd you say it was? AirG?
AirG. That's too clever, Matt. And then you started talking about like outer space monsters or something like that. And then I was like, You've just created another way for Elon Musk to show how prepared he was.
Have you guys seen
satellites turn around and like?
Have you guys seen Silicon Valley?
Mm-mm.
I watched like the first episode. Okay, I couldn't get into it.
I don't want to spoil the series.
Yeah, don't, because I've been kind of watching it, but
okay.
AirG.com is AirG Mobile Pioneer. It looks like the smart. It's got Bob the Builder. It's like a smartphone Farmville with friends.
This has the style of like a Virgin Mobile kind of.
Looks like a kid phone, basically.
What?
Yeah, this is weird.
That is really weird.
We've just discovered some yet more dark corner of the internet.
Oh, they're in Vancouver, Canada, too.
Ooh. Move over Apple and Google. We've got a new content.
For real.
AirG Mobile Pioneer, established in 2000.
Wow.
Oh.
Interesting. They've
been around for quite a while.
Partnered with AT&T and Vodafone. Okay.
They make their own OS.
They must.
Wow. They're sus, but they're not super sus.
Where can I buy one?
Oh no, this is super sus.
This is so weird. Oh my goodness.
The made up company that someone made up on LinkedIn to try and get website building experience.
Their last tweet on Twitter was on August 4th. And it was about we love our puppies, so must have been National Puppy Day. Yeah,
we need to follow them. Wow, they only have 43 followers.
Yeah, they don't. And they joined in June of 2016.
Can we buy?
So apparently, they didn't jump on that bandwagon long ago. Can you even buy
offices?
What? Really?
They have what?
15 global offices, but only 175 employees globally.
Oh my god.
They have positions available.
That's 11 employees per office.
They have a software engineer in Canada.
What?
Product manager in the US, product manager in Canada, front end developer in Canada. I should apply and see if they reach out to me.
Oh my god, you totally. Actually, they'll find this podcast and they'll find us talking about them. And then they'll hear, hey, AirG, do you want 5 new followers on Twitter? All you have to do is sponsor us. You'll get 6 followers instantly with more to come.
Oh my god.
Wow, this is impressive. This is weird.
It doesn't say what their compensation is. I'm sorry, I'm not applying for product manager.
And also, like, you can't buy the... Oh, it's not a phone service. It's... They make apps. It looks like. So it's not the phone that they're... It's not the phone that they're selling. It's the apps, I think.
Well, it'd be nice if they're...
Well, if you go to the product page, like, it shows the apps for the games, and then you can visit the individual sites.
Oh.
Like Ultimate Games, a Big Barn World. You can visit their site for that. Brain Trust.
Okay, so it's a software.
Just Pen.com. Their ad-free private social network.
What's it called?
It is Just10.com.
Huh.
And it's the ad-free private social network for you and your closest 10 friends. Are you kidding me?
That's very interesting.
What?
It's in beta right now, Tim. Don't. It's in beta.
They have an app for BlackBerry. You and your friends on BlackBerry can... You and your 10, the rest of the BlackBerry user base can all come together to become friends.
Oh, we make fun of BlackBerry in our intro too. That's kind of gosh.
They got that.
They probably started with BlackBerry because there's only 10 people using BlackBerry, and then built up.
There's 15 people in there. They have a picture at the bottom of like all their people though. There's 15 of them. I guess they can't all be friends with each other.
Oh
wow. No.
She can only have 10.
Sorry, Stacy, you can't be our friend.
That's discrimination.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
A secret version that's 15 friends.
I am 100% sure if we continue this, we won't get sponsored by ARG.
I wonder if just 10 doc, just 15 .com is available.
Develop a competitor app.
Nope. Just 15. Nope. Sorry. Just 15 is not available.
Oh, man. I thought you were on to something.
Wait. How about 11?
20. How about 20?
Just 11.com is $2,500 plus $12 a year.
Good Lord.
What? Why?
Yeah.
Who gets this money?
Well, people that are selling their domains.
Oh, I see.
I sold the domain not that long ago, but just12.com is not available. Just13.com is $2,900 plus $12 a year.
Oh,
how about 20?
If you click on the app, the Android app on their website, it's a broken link. Or their app has been removed from Google Play.
Just 18 is exactly what you think it would be.
Oh my god. I never even questioned what it could
be. Yeah, it wouldn't have been something I would have even had to think about.
Oh my god. I was like, well, on the off chance this doesn't exist, that's hilarious.
What's their app called, Tim? Is it Just 10?
I think it's, yeah, Just 10.
I think you guys are just asking for trouble looking at just... followed by an age under 18. I'm just saying.
Well, I don't find them in the app store either, but when I pull up just Dance Now and Just Dance Controller are the top two feeds there.
Oh my goodness.
I should apply and see what
I hope you do, and I hope they get back to you quick, because you could talk about it on the next show.
You're going to wake someone at their desk. They're going to get a ding.
Someone applied. Quickly, open their resume. Oh, interesting. All right, well, damn, that was a good call out, Tim. I've got to give it to you. Airdeed.com.
Oh, my goodness. God. All right. Okay. Anything else, guys, on the internet, Starlink, Jack Dorsey, Twitter? Any shout outs? Hey,
maybe I could sell them my just by or drone or icebyair.com.
He could become the new CEO.
Yeah, I could.
You and him.
That could be on their new product page.
I'm sure he's got a lot. He has a lot more time on his hands. He's probably looking for some new side project to turn into a multi-billion dollar company.
Yeah. All right. Anything else?
It's like, no.
I guess that's a no.
Well, then we want to give a big thank you to everyone here for joining us live on this episode of the GooplyCast, and a big thanks to you if you're listening to our podcast. Look for our replays on YouTube and the podcast version of our episodes on all of your favorite podcasting apps, including iHeartRadio. Follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook, so that way you'll get notified when we go live with the show, and you can join in, and also for when we share new tech-related content. I've been your host, Matt Carter. For Matt, Roy, Tim, and Joseph, we appreciate you so much for watching and listening. We'll catch you next time on the GooplyCast.
Thanks for listening to the GooplyCast. Don't forget to subscribe and rate our podcast. Visit us on social media at Gooply. And remember, you can stream the GooplyCast on your favorite podcasting app or Gooply.com.